22. That's where we're going tonight. Continuing our study of Psalm 22, Missions and the Cross. The Bible talks about the Lord Jesus. This is a prophetic psalm. The very words at the beginning we recognize from the New Testament, of course, when Jesus was on the cross, and other things are there that describe certainly our Savior's experiences and his sacrifice and etc. And yet the Lord wants us to learn from that. And since we're looking at missions this coming weeks, that's what we wanted to focus in on. How does this fit in with missions, or missions fit in with that? And I trust it's been a help to you so far. We looked only at verses 1 and 2 last week, where the Bible says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. We saw that Christ was isolated at the cross. He was isolated. There's a special relationship. It's exclusive with the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We call it triune because it's three in one. Triune, one and three in one. And they share the work of creation. We saw that they have authority structure, even through scriptures. And they delight in the ministry of each other. Matthew 3 tells us about that. And in regards to missions, the Bible tells us missions is a unique joy to represent Jesus and plant the local church. Lots of scripture about that. Then we saw that Jesus, the Son of God, of course, he was isolated. He's the good news in the flesh, but he was forsaken. He says it right at the beginning, verse 1. My God, why hast thou forsaken? Forsaken. That means that he was separated from the Father to take on our sin. He knows the anguish of earnest prayer. How many remember the prayer he gave in the garden there, right before he was taken? It was according to the scriptures. He said, it's not my will, but thine be done, Lord. And as in the flesh, we can understand that, can't we? He knew every little thing that was going to happen, every drop of blood that was going to be shed. He knew all about it. And yet his obedience to the plan of salvation is our joy. We get rewarded for that. The Bible tells us he knows the anguish of earnest prayer and missions. In regards to that, missions is the call to go to the location of the desolate and unreached. We saw in Acts chapter 13 where God was sending Paul and Barnabas, and certainly to places where no one had been to share the gospel, certainly in that time of age. And yet there's still places today where people have not even heard the name of Jesus in this world. Isn't that amazing? How many Bibles do we have in our homes? How often can we look up scripture and some encouraging words, and there's people in this world never even heard the name of Jesus? There's still work to do. There's still work to do. Missions. That's what we're looking at. Mission and the cross. Now today we want to continue on and verses 3 through 11. Hopefully we'll get through them all. Let's go ahead and read those together, shall we? Verses 3 through 11. I'll read verse 3. Would you read verse 4? We'll go back and forth. Verse 11 will be our final verse as we go along. I'll begin with verse 3. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. They cried unto thee and were delivered, and they trusted in thee, and were not confounded. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, but thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breasts. Let's all read verse 11 together, shall we? Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help me. And of course, this is Jesus, a prophecy of where he was at. We know it. It describes him on that cross, an isolated place. The Bible tells us that Christ, even though he was isolated, even though he was forsaken, as he says, he was separated, he praised the Heavenly Father. We're going to look at that tonight. And how does that fit in with missionaries and people who are interested and desirous of missions, though it may not necessarily be on a foreign field, but there's people that need to hear from us, even around Eaton Rapids. There's dark areas in Eaton Rapids still that need Christ and to hear from us, or Charlotte or Lansing or wherever we live that we can make an impact on. Let's go ahead and ask God to help us before we go any further and see what the Lord has for us tonight. Lord, we thank you for your word and the truth of it. We thank you, God, that we can apply it to our life at any time. And I pray tonight, Lord, we would. I pray, Father, we'd put aside the things of the day, the burdens of this week already, and give us just a moment to be with you, that the Holy Spirit would have an open heart and open ears. I think it was shared already tonight that we would have a soft heart for you, Lord, because we need to be some of those folks that are reaching out and meeting the needs of others through the name of Christ. May you get the glory through things said and done, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. We're talking about missions and the cross, where it was isolated, it was an isolated place, and how Jesus himself was isolated there. Tonight we're looking at how Christ praised the Father at the cross. Look again, verse number 3, if you would. He says, "But thou art holy." He just got done saying, "You've forsaken me. You've separated from me. Here I am in this dark place." And then he says, "But thou art holy. O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel." The Bible tells us, number one here, that praise God, we should praise God for his holiness and absence of sin. That's literally what holiness is, the absence of sin. And God says that is who he is and who he desires us to live and strive for. Let's have some help if we could. Hebrews 4, a few of these verses, not a lot tonight. Hebrews 4, verses 14 and 15. Who would look up those two verses? Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 and 15. All right, thank you, Kurt. Appreciate that. Then, how about Luke chapter 23, and there's two verses here we'll hear from, verse 34 and then verse 46. Who would read those two verses when we come to them in Luke chapter 23? All right, Eric, thank you, sir. Appreciate that. And then there's one here, Isaiah 52 and verse 14, a single verse to hear from. Who would take Isaiah 52 and verse 14, just that one? All right, Vicki's going to read that. And then, let's see. And then we'll go together from there to the end, all right? First of all, the Bible tells us that we ought to praise God for his holiness and absence of sin. That's what Jesus did on the cross. "Thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel." Hebrews chapter 4 talks about that for us and why he can be praised for his holiness. Okay, thank you. So we know the Heavenly Father is holy. There's plenty of scripture that describes him. But Jesus himself is holy too, amen? The Bible says when he went to the cross, he was without sin. He's as a high priest, and yet he needed no sacrifice but himself on the cross for us. And he went there sinless, without sin. Praise him for that, and let others know. Secondly, praise God for his deliverance. With me, please. Romans chapter 8, verse number 4 and 5 here in our chapter says this, "Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted and thou didst deliver them." Talking about hell and death in the New Testament, Romans chapter 8. Let's go there. And we're looking at verse number 1 and verse number 2. What good is a Savior if he can only save you one day in your whole life, if you can only have salvation for one day? Well, that's not the kind of Savior Jesus is. Aren't you glad? His salvation is forever. It's eternal. Look at verse number 1 and verse 2. Here's what it says. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." God has given us a great reward, a great gift through salvation, that we don't have to experience hell, and though we may taste physical death, we do not have to taste a death eternal like those who have rejected Jesus and that are awaiting that to come. The Bible tells us, you and I, if we trust Christ as our Savior, we get to escape that. We get to escape that. And we need to let others know about that. We need to praise God for that. That's what Jesus was saying. Praise God not only for that, but letter C, praise God for his care since conception. That's the blank, conception. Take a look back in Psalm 22. Praise God for his care since conception. Have you ever thanked the Lord that his hand of care was on you since the day you were conceived? I don't know if I ever had that actual prayer, but maybe you have. But God over and over wants to remind us that he has. Verse number 9. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breasts. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. The Bible says we ought to praise him for his care since conception. Let me ask you this. Was God's hand over the Lord Jesus since his conception? Incarnation, that is. How do we know? What does it say about his conception? He was conceived of the Holy Ghost, the Bible says, the Holy Spirit. And if you look in through the Gospels, you'll find all throughout his ministry specifically, there were times when the Bible says he was ministered to by who? Angels, the Holy Spirit. I mean, God watched over over Jesus Christ all through his life. Now, Jesus is God. Praise God for that. And he knew all these things. And yet God shows us through his example that God cares for us too. God cares for us too. Have you met your personal angel? No, I don't think you have. Maybe you did. I don't know. I haven't. But I can thank God for his protection over me, can't you? From day to day to day. And if it started in conception, then it started before I even asked him for it. It started even before I knew him, and God knew me, and yet he loved me and cared for me just like he did for you. Praise God for that. Final thought on this in regards to praising him. Praise God though no one else is. Praise God though no one else is. Take a look at verse number 11, if you would. Verse 11 here in Psalms. We're talking about praising the Father, and when Jesus was at the cross, he certainly did. Here's what the Bible tells us in verse 11. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Praise God, though no one else is. In Luke, we read about Jesus on the cross, and yet you know that Jesus was the only one honoring God that day at the cross. Luke 23, listen to verse 34, and then verse 46, if you would, please, brother. Okay, thank you very much. Here he was honoring the Heavenly Father. He knows, man, forgiveness comes from him. And he was calling upon God. And people heard him. People heard him. He was not just whispering these things. And then he gave up the ghost when he honored the Lord at the end and mentioned his name. Even at the cross, the Lord Jesus was praising God, honoring him on his day of physical death. Well, I pray that that day is a long way from now, don't you? A long way from us now. Some we already heard tonight. There's some we're going to be praying over. Could be very soon. Could be very close for them. But whenever it is, whether it's today or someday many years from now, we ought to be praising God right now. Why is that? Because here's what missions do. Would you turn with me, if you would, Acts chapter 14. Let's take a look at this. Missions, missionaries, and just the idea of reaching the lost soul. Missions praises God. And let's see what it says in Acts 14. Looking at verse number 11. We'll start there. So this is a time when Paul and Barnabas, they were out on a missions trip. They were reaching people with the gospel. And while they were in this town, the Bible says that Paul looked upon an individual who was crippled, and he saw that his faith, the Bible says that his faith could heal him. That is what it says, that his faith could heal him. And so he called him up and he said, by the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. He did. Well, that city worshiped the stars, the moon, Greek mythology, etc. And they thought for sure they had in their midst, they had gods with them. How many remember this story? They had gods with them. They threw a big parade and everything like that right down the street. It was impromptu and everybody seemed to show up. But take a look at verse number 11, Acts 14. Verse 11 is where we want to start. It says, and when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voice, saying in the speech of Lycaonia, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. And they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates, and would have done sacrifice with the people. Which, when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. So even though you're in a place, you might be in a place where no one's praising God, there could be a reason is that they don't know who God is. That's the idea. Missions praises God when no one there knows God. When no one there knows God. That's what our missionaries choose to do. They answer the call as God leads their heart to a particular place, particular group of people, where they just don't know them. They just don't know God. And God's using them to introduce them to that place. I was with a group of preachers and others last week where they were involved in some of the church plants around us that Rick Russ is involved in, and the one that just started here in Dearborn, Michigan. How many ever heard of Dearborn, Michigan? All right, all solid red, white, and blue Americans in Dearborn, Michigan. Amen? No, that's it's a different country when you go to Dearborn, from what I understand. And yet, those people need the gospel. They need the gospel. God raised up a young man. His name is Josh Levesque. There are other churches that are there doing a good job trying to reach people and are doing good. But there's still so many Islamic, Muslim people or Arabic people, not even necessarily Islamic, but they need Christ, and no one has been taking up the opportunity. And yet God has sent a man to go where they don't even know. They think they know. They think they know. You know how much Allah has done in the history of the world? How much Allah can take credit for? There's no such thing as Allah. There is no Allah. There is a Satan who has deceived people thinking that there is an Allah, even through maybe supernatural means. And yet God is the God who controls it all, and they need to know. Missions praises God when no one there knows God. When no one there knows God. How many have you ever been in a room? Have you ever been in a room, whether it's a restaurant or your workplace or just a gas station, where you think, man, I'm probably the only Christian in this building. Have you ever felt like that? You ever felt like that? Man, God might have an opportunity for us as we get in mission. And I got to tell you, I don't look at it that way as often as I should. Look at it as a mission that God puts you in that place for that moment, perhaps just to draw attention to him, give glory to God. Christ, he praised the Father at the cross. And then the third thought, let's go back to verse number 6. Verse number 6. Verse number 6. Where the Bible says, but I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh, me to scorn, they shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. Here's the final thought as we continue this part of it. the location of missions, isolated. Christ was despised by man at the cross. He says, they've scorned me. I'm a worm. I'm no man. A reproach of men. Despised. Scorned. Despised. It means this. Jesus was abhorred. Abhorred for the torture he endured. When I say abhorred, I mean they looked at him or they saw him and they said, he's gross. You know, he's so something that we need to stay away from. He's a stink to us. He's a abhorred individual. Isaiah 52 is another prophetic verse. Isaiah 52:14 describes the picture of Jesus on the cross. We get to think, you know, those pictures that hang up in museums of Jesus on the cross. His skin is just glowing white. And the angels are there ready to take him into their arms. Well, that's not the way it was. That's not the way it was. Isaiah 52 paints it for us in verse 14.
As many were astonished at me, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men.
Okay, thank you very much. The Bible says his visage, his appearance was marred. The torture that he went through, the blood, the whips and torture, that all that had its effect on him. And let me ask you this. If you were a family and you had kids and you were there that day, what would you do to them? If you saw a man up there and it looked more like an animal being skinned alive, you would want them not to look at that, wouldn't you? I said, man, we can't be here to see this. But that's how Jesus, that's what he went through for you and me. That's what he went through. The Bible says he was despised of men. Secondly, letter B, Jesus was scorned and considered worthless. Luke chapter 23, let's go there. Luke 23. Scorned and considered worthless. Here's a man who's already, he's already been beaten near death. He's dragged his cross, the very instrument that he was going to die on. He couldn't get it to the final place. He was so weak. And yet, here's what people were saying to him. They weren't saying, we feel sorry for you. I hope you, No, this is what they were saying. Luke chapter 23, take a look at verse 35. Verse 35. Start there. Here we go. Verse 35 of Luke 23, here's what it says. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, he saved others. Let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar. Even, you know, this is the police. They're supposed to be helping you. And they're mocking him, the Bible says, while he's dying. Verse 37, and saying, if thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. Remind you of Luke 22, doesn't it? That's what the Bible tells us that the Savior would say on the cross. He was scorned. He was considered worthless. He's not worth even helping to save. He was going to die, and no one seemed to care. Can I share with you something about missions? Turn with me, if you would, 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter 4. We have missionaries in places that, yeah, there's beauty there. Germany, man, the Alps, Austria and Germany, Alps and so forth. The Philippines, we've heard a lot of amazing things about some of the tropics there. But these aren't places where our missionaries go to take vacation. They're not going there because they know they're necessarily going to be welcomed with open arms. Why do they go there? 1 Peter chapter 4, take a look. Why do they go? Verse number 11, let's take a look. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers, here it is, of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. The Bible tells us that missions rejoices in being counted, here's the blank, worthy to suffer for the name of Christ. Wow. Most of us are hoping that we never have to deal with that kind of stuff. You know, oh, we read about it in other places. I hope it doesn't come here. Afghanistan, man. You know, they're sending Afghanis to America. How many remembered that? They're trying to bury that story now. But they're still coming. But you know what? The Bible says it's a joy to suffer for the name of Christ, just to be able to tell people who he is. Hey, praise God for our missionaries. Amen. And we can be a help to them. We can help in our prayers. We can help in our support. We can help by even going there. He wants to move us to do something along those lines. Missions and the cross. Boy, it's been interesting so far. We got more than half the chapter still to look at. But I trust it'll encourage us to consider what these folks do and what God can lead any of us to do for him, even though it may not be in a foreign land, but that Jesus set the pattern. It can be done if we do it in his power. All right, let's go find a partner. Let's pray tonight and ask God's help for these folks that we mentioned.